To start off this morning, here's what I want you to do. I need you to turn to your neighbor, but before you turn to them, I need you to tell them, just as close as you can get, what is your favorite song? Okay? What is your favorite song? Just turn to your neighbor real quick. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. If you're wrong, they're not going to know. All right? If you're like, oh man, later, oh, that's not really my favorite song. It's okay. What is your favorite song? Okay? Now, so this happened a couple of months ago in our small group. Okay, I said a song, not the entire album, all right? So a couple months ago in our small group, we were things had wrapped up. Most of the people left, and there's just a couple of us there. And so I got my phone out, opened up Apple Music, and just started going through, you guys ready for this? 90s country music hits. Can I get an amen? Come on now, let's go. You know, and it was awesome because we're just sitting there like going through these things and we're just like listening. It's like, oh, do you know this? Do you remember this one? Remember this? And you know, and so like here's some of the songs that just kind of came up. Tell me, just by your applause, tell me if you remember this. How about this? So Where the Green Grass Grows. Come on now, let's go. All right. It's Independence Day, right? Let's go. How about John Deere Green? Okay, all right. I knew you were my people. All right, and so we're just going through this, and we're just having so much fun, and we're just listening to these things. And here's the thing that's crazy about it. You know, you throw in a song from the 90s, which was only 10 years ago, and you start listening to these things, and you're just like, immediately you're transported back. You know, and it's like, man, I'm 18 years old again. I'm 19 years old again. I'm 20 years old again. And I'm listening. Or, you're 65 again. But you're listening to these things, and it just takes you back to this place. It takes you back to this, like, memory that you have. And it's just an incredible experience. And I think you probably understand this, that there is just something about a song that, like, just speaks into our souls. It's just like right there, man. It just like gets you every single time. The poet Glenn Elliott once said this, said, life seems to go on without effort when I am filled with music. See, there's just something instinctually, intuitively that we know that music makes life better. It just makes it better. I mean, because it's there and it combines with to give us voice to all kinds of emotion. I mean, our happiness, our sadness, our anger, our fear, the love, you know, all these things are inside of us, and it ends up providing us with comfort and peace. And really, music is present in every part of our lives. I mean, our church life, I mean, we just spent, you know, 30 minutes singing, and it's framed with songs. Children learn the alphabet by singing a song. We play songs on one of the happiest days of our lives, the day that we got married, and then we play songs on one of the saddest days of our life, whenever we end up burying someone that we love. You go to a store, what's playing in the background? Songs. You go to a restaurant, and you're sitting down, what's in the background? Songs. They are there all the time, and it is so deeply ingrained into us that it can even help us connect with those who have suffered cognitive loss. I don't know if this has ever shown up in your Instagram feed or whatever it is that you use, and you start scrolling through there, and like there'll be a video of an Alzheimer's patient, and then like they're just sitting there, they're almost comatose, and like there's just nothing there, but then they play a song. And they either start dancing to the music or they start singing along. I saw one video of a lady who, they're like, you need to play this song. And she's like, I don't know how to play that song. And then she sits down at the piano and just goes, brum, brum, and just starts playing it out. One of my favorite videos is a Russian ballerina with Alzheimer's. And maybe you've seen this. You know, she's sitting there in a chair, just barely moving. And they put headphones on her. And I believe they start playing Swan Lake in her ears. And then just while she's there in the chair, she starts to do the dance. It's just there. Man. Why? Because it's music. There's something about it that just connects to our souls. It just connects a song just connects deeply into our soul. So it is no surprise at all that whenever we start reading the scriptures, we start reading things like sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Or Psalm 47, whenever it says, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. There's something about a song. Now, if you haven't been with us for the past 9 weeks, this entire summer, we've been working through a sermon series called Retold. And just the subtitle is Sunday School Stories That You Thought You Knew. And through this, we've been saying, hey, let's have some fun. Let's look at some stories that if you grew up in church, went to a VBS at some point, you probably heard this story. And to say, let's look at it with new eyes, with fresh eyes, and see if there's anything new that we can learn from it today. And today, we're going to look at the last one. This is the last part of this series. We're going to look at a time in a strange place where a song broke out. It's Acts chapter 16. If you've got your Bible, I'd love for you to open up there to Acts chapter 16. Now, let me set up what's going on while you're finding that in your Bible or you're looking it up on your phone. Acts is the story of the church. It's how the church came to be. It's why we are here today. You know, it's homecoming Sunday for us where we look back and celebrate our heritage. Our heritage begins in Acts chapter 2. That's where it all begins. And so it's the story of the church being born. And it's also in the book of Acts where we meet the Apostle Paul, a guy who used to persecute the church, and then he becomes a church planner and a preacher, a missionary. And he and his buddy Barnabas, they go on a mission trip, and they have a great time, and they start baptizing people left and right. They come back, spend a little bit of time in Jerusalem, getting, you know, letting everybody know what's happening around the area. And then it comes time to where it's like, okay, you guys need to go back out. You need to tell more people about Jesus, baptize more people, and go do the work. Well, on the last mission trip, this is important, Paul and Barnabas had this guy with him. His name was John Mark. And John Mark, he gets upset, and he ends up bailing on them while they're on the trip. Just goes home. Nobody knows why. He just left. But it comes time for Paul and Barnabas to go on this new trip. And so Barnabas says to Paul, he's like, hey, I think we should bring John Mark along with us. And Paul says, well, it'll be a cold day you know where before I ever take him on a trip. And they just start going back and forth, back and forth. And they get so mad and angry at each other that they end up splitting and going separate ways. So Barnabas goes one way. And so Paul and Silas, his other friend, they go another way. And they start off on their mission trip, and they're going to go to Antioch, to Derbe, to Lystra, to Galatia, to Phrygia. But while they're in Phrygia, Paul has a dream, and it's like this guy that just shows up in his dream and says, Paul, you've got to come to Macedonia. We need the gospel in Macedonia. So Paul wakes up and says, all right, that's where we're going. Well, they begin their journey towards Macedonia, and they have to stop over in Philippi, and this is where stuff just gets nuts. Now, in Philippi, they meet a lady named Lydia. She's this wealthy CEO, and she's down there by the river, and she's a believer in God. Paul tells her about Jesus. They baptize her into the river, and everything's going great. They start walking around the city, and there's this slave girl who's demon-possessed, just following Paul and Silas around, and she's just like this annoying, whatever grade you want to throw her into. Okay, you can pick the grade. And so, you know, she's this annoying girl falling around, driving Paul nuts. So finally, he just turns around. It's like, would you come out of her, you know? And so the demon comes out and she's healed. And you would think the owners would be glad, but they look at that and say, man alive, you know, our source of income is gone now. And so really, Paul and Silas cause an international incident, okay? Because they're like, these Jews are causing all this trouble. And it's in Acts chapter 16, verse 22 that we see what happens. It says that the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, so not just like lightly flogged, but severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they take them, they attack them, they strip them, they beat them down, and I wonder, is anybody in this room, anybody watching online, have you ever felt stripped and beaten down? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever had, like, I just feel like I've been stripped of my confidence? Like at one point in your life, you felt assured of yourself. You felt confident, not like an arrogance, but you felt confident that God had made you this way and that he had gifted you in these things. But now here you are and all of your confidence has just been stripped away. Maybe you felt like you've been stripped of your peace. At one point you could sing, you know, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. But now you can't even sing that with a straight face because there's nothing well with your soul in this moment. Maybe it's you've been stripped of your joy. You used to be the person who could light up a room and people just love being in your presence, but now so much life has happened, you've been stripped of your joy. Or have you ever felt beaten down? Like you've been beaten down so much, and so you've just been beaten down with discouragement. You've been beaten down with your doubts. You've been beaten down with all of your worries. See, you don't have to have been thrown in prison to understand what it feels like to be stripped and beaten down, do you? We've all felt this. And all Paul and Silas are trying to do, they're just trying to serve God. That's it. That's all they want to do. They're like, man, I feel like God has put this on my heart. This is what I want to do for him. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell them about what he has done for us and what he has done for me and what he will do for them. All they are doing is they are serving God, and they have been stripped and they've been beaten down, severely flogged, thrown in prison. And here they are. They're in prison. They're bloody. They're beaten. They've got black eyes. They got bruised. They got broken ribs, maybe broken nose, maybe other broken bones. They're wrongly accused. They've been treated unfairly, been treated unjustly. Then this jailer is just a real piece of work because he just takes them and throws them in the inner cell. Think inner cell, meaning where there's no light, there's no air, there's nothing there. He throws them in the stocks, and that's not like Disney Frontierland stocks. You know, if you've got the cute little picture on your phone somewhere of. Okay, no, we're talking like feet stretched out in front of you, arms stretched out in front of you with broken arms, dislocated shoulders, broken ribs. All these things, and you got these things going on, and here they are. And then Luke, who's the writer who's telling us this, he says this about midnight. Everybody say midnight. Midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. It's about midnight. Now, I don't know the last time you saw midnight. But what you need to know about midnight is midnight's dark. Not a lot of sunshine going on at midnight. And since it's dark, it means that there's also a lot of confusion at midnight, right? Because you just can't see. Have you ever been confused and in a place where you're just simply trying to do what God wants you to do? You think you are doing what he wants you to do, but you just can't see anymore? That's midnight. Have you ever been raising your kids? Maybe you raised your kids and you're like, man, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm holding on for dear life. But you're just like, man, the lessons, they're just not catching them. They're not listening to me. And oh my goodness, have you seen their new friends? Holy moly. I mean, what is that? That's midnight. You ever find yourself surrounded by people, but yet you still feel lonely deep inside? And whenever you're in the group, you laugh. You might even be the life of the party. But whenever you get by yourself, you start to wonder, is anyone ever going to love me just for me? Because they don't really love the real me. Because if they knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. They only love the image that I project. What is that? That's midnight. Stuck in a place of frustration. Nothing's changing. Everything's confusing. It's midnight. See, here's the thing. What bothers you in the daytime, you can drown out with activity, can't you? You can crank up that 90s country music playlist and you can just get that thing blaring. And it's like, okay, I don't have to think about those thoughts. I don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. You can say, what needs to be done? Well, hey, I could edge again. I edged yesterday, but I could edge again today. You know, I put the headphones on. I can get out there and do that. Oh, it looks like the tires are a half a pound low. I could go out there and start pumping those things up, and we can drown all that stuff out with activity. But you know what you can't do at midnight? You can't drown it out with activity, can you? Because it's at midnight, whenever it's dark, when it's confusing, and all these things are going out. There's no way to drown out all the doubts, all the things that are running through your head. See, Paul and Silas aren't just in prison. They're in prison at midnight. It's dark. It's uncomfortable. Their back is raw like hamburger. You roll over to your side. You're in pain. I mean, it's just you and your thoughts, this strange place. You've been through it. You've been through stuff before, but now it's midnight and it's prison. And I love this. So what do they do? It's like, you know what we should do? We should have a worship night. That would be amazing, you know? It's like, let's start singing some songs. What a better place to sing right here. And it's like, where are they? I mean, they're in prison, and they're like, their first thought is like, we should sing. Now, here's the deal. Don't miss this, church. Listen, Paul and Silas sang because of their faith. They sang because Christ was with them and giving them the strength that they needed. They sang, don't miss this, because they couldn't help but to sing even when it was midnight. Because they're not consumed with worry. They are consumed and moved to worship. And so their praise turns a prison into a praise center. right? Because everybody there is listening to them. They're like, what is going on? These guys are singing. And all these things are going. Now, I got to give you a spoiler alert. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story in just a second here. Because what's going to happen is they're going to start singing. Big earthquake is going to come up. Chains are going to fall off. Prison doors are going to be opened. And they're going to have a chance to escape prison. Okay? So if you know the story, we know that story. We know that's what's about to happen. We know that's the result of their praise. We know that's what God is going to do. But do you know who did not know that was what God is going to do? Don't make it hard. It's Paul and Silas. And you want to know why? Because they hadn't read Acts chapter 16 yet. Okay? See, they're just living it. They're not reading it. And so they're going, it's like, listen, our circumstances don't determine our praise. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to worship God. And we're going to praise God before the provision of God. Because we don't just praise God for what he does. We praise him for who he is. And that's exactly what they do. Because suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Now, can you imagine this scene? I mean, this is just nuts. This is why this is a Sunday school story, right? Because this is great to color. This is great on a flannel graph. It's great on overhead projectors. It's an amazing thing here. But I mean, it's midnight. It's prison. They're bloody. They're beaten up. It's dark. And I can just imagine the scene. It's pitch dark. You're sitting in a cell. And you hear this guy go, "Hey, Silas. Yeah. You up? Yeah. Been thinking about it. You know what we should do? What's that? I think we should sing." "What?" "Yeah, I mean, what else are we going to do, man? I can't sleep. It hurts too much right now. We should sing." "All right, man, you're the boss. What should we sing?" "I don't know. How about..." He's like, "Do you know this one? Turn your eyes upon Jesus." You know that, Silas? "Look full on his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Silas is like, "Yeah, I know that one. Hey, man, do you know this one? Praise God from whom all..." And they just start singing. And then all of a sudden, the song is going and the earth begins shaking. All the chains fall loose. And not just for Paul and Silas, but for the prisoners as well, because their praise became a blessing for other people as well. And I just want you to listen and think about this. What is it that caused the miracle? The sound of praise. It was the posture of a heart bending toward God. Everything opens up. Chains fall off. Paul doesn't leave. Doesn't let anybody else leave. Why? Because his purpose wasn't complete. See, the point's not the miracle. Point is the message. The jailer needed to hear the gospel. And Paul was not about to bail on him until he had a chance to share with him. Because Paul didn't want to get out. He wanted to get the gospel in. That's exactly what happens. So the jailer calls for lights, rushed in. Paul's trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. And the jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, And he was filled with, say it with me, he was filled with joy. Because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. So what is the result of the worship of two believers in the dark at midnight in prison? It's the changed life of a jailer. A hard heart is softened. He receives the gospel, gets a new heart. He's filled with joy. And I'll say this, and probably a song. Here's what I would want you to write down. This isn't in your notes. I want you to write this down, okay? Our circumstances don't determine our worship, but our worship can change our circumstances. I'll say it again. Our circumstances don't determine our worship, but our worship can change our circumstances. Whenever we have a posture of the heart that is bent towards God, praise flows out, circumstances can be changed. So as we wrap this up, I just want to ask this question. How do we develop a heart that sings? How do you develop a heart that is a singing heart? Paul and Silas, they're in the dark, they're in prison, it's midnight, and they start to sing. How can you and I, how can we have a heart that does the same thing? Two things to remind yourself of. Number one is you remind yourself of what God has done. You're going to remind yourself of what God has done. I love the story of David and Goliath. We talked about that one earlier on this summer. And I love it because whenever David is confronted and by King Saul about how do you think that God, how do you think you're going to defeat this big giant? What does he say? He's like, God has been with me before and he has helped me defeat lions and bears with my own hands. And if he helped me with lions and bears, this, you know, God cursing giant stands no chance. Later on in Exodus, whenever they're talking about the Passover, it is actually laid out for a dad. He's like, whenever you're doing this meal and your son asks you, hey, why are we doing this? You tell them, it's because we used to be slaves in Egypt, but now we are not. The Lord brought us out and made us his people. There's a guy in Mark chapter 5. He's a demoniac. He's got all kinds of demons living inside of him. He's naked. He's breaking chains, living in the prison. And Jesus comes by, heals him. And then he says, you go and tell everybody else what I have done for you. That's Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 8, Jesus feeds 4,000 people in that same area. How does Jesus go feed 4,000 people? Why are there 4,000 people showing up to hear Jesus talk? Because there was one guy who said, I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. We just did it a few minutes ago to where we took a small piece of bread, a cup of juice, and we said, we are going to remember what God has done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ. See, we remember what he has done. And whenever we remind ourselves consistently of what God has done for us, then praise is the result. Look at Psalm 103 verse 2. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. How do we do that? May I never forget the good things he does for me. That's where praise flows from. It's this reminder continually, like, this is what he has done for me. And just like we never forget a song and how that song made us feel, we should never forget the good things that God has done for us. So here's the question for you to wrestle with on your own is, what is your story? What has he done for you? And you think back over the past, and maybe for some of you, it's like, well, I was an addict, but now I am not because of the grace of God. Or I was a prodigal, but now I'm not because of the grace of God. You know, or I was, you know, in dire need and needed help, but God provided for us in our need. And he is a God who provides. Me, I look back at myself. There's all kinds of things. But like for me, one of the huge things is, it's like, I look back at where I was in my high school years, you know, middle school years and those things, and I know that I was dead in my sins. I was dead in my sins. I was on a song title on a highway to hell. And so that's where I was headed. But God in his grace and his love and his mercy, he saved me from myself. And if he never did anything else for me other than give me salvation through Jesus Christ, he has done more for me than I could ever repay, than I could ever thank him enough for. What has he done for you? You remind yourself of those things over and over and over again. And because you're forgetful like I'm forgetful, here's how you do that. Write them down. Like, do you have a spot to where you are writing these things down regularly? If God answers a prayer of yours, by all means, scribble down on a calendar somewhere that you're going to look back on and go, God answered that prayer today. Here's how he's been working in my life. Here's what he has been teaching me. Here's how I'm seeing his spirit move in me, around me, through the people around me as well. That's how you remind yourself of these things. And the way that we respond to him has everything to do with how well we remember. So remind yourself of what he's done. But here's the second thing. We're also going to remind ourselves of who God is. Because listen to me, listen, it's not just about what he does, it's about who he is. I love this. It's about 10 years later, after Acts chapter 16, Paul's sitting down, he's writing to the church that was founded after Lydia was baptized, slave girl was, you know, healed, and jailer guy was converted. And yet whenever he goes to speak to the church, and he's writing to this church 10 years later, and here's what he has to say about it in his memory. He says this. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. It's in Philippians. Now, some of us, if we were writing this, we would say, every time I remember you, I think of that night I spent when they had beat my back, man, and I was sore and I was hurting. But Paul says, when I remember you, I remember the outcome, not the opposition. See, the way I respond has everything to do with the way I remember. Paul's saying, he's like, listen, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers, you know, about you and for you, I thank my God. I remember you with joy whenever I remember you. I don't remember the pain. I remember the purpose. I mean, he doesn't even mention the prison that he went through whenever he's writing this letter to them. Because by this time, the purpose is so big that one night in prison just seems so small. Because it was like just one night in his life. And it's later in Philippians chapter 4 that Paul says these incredible words. These are words that you've probably heard before. And it just simply says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now here's what's fascinating. Do you know where Paul is located whenever he writes this? He's in prison. He's in another jail cell. And you want to know what doesn't happen this time? There's no earthquake. Chains don't fall off. He just stays in prison until he's later beheaded. That's it. And what's his attitude? It's the same as it was in Acts chapter 16. Rejoice. He's like, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Why? Because our environment doesn't determine our worship. And our problems don't determine our praise. Because worship is a result of the overflow of our heart. It's a posture of the heart. We bend towards God, praise flows out. It is a posture of our heart. And I just want you to imagine with me here as we close. Can you imagine how much this would change your attitude wherever you found yourself if that was the posture that you had? I mean, you're going to walk in to work, and instead of just being like, oh my goodness, another Monday. Oh man, it's been a whole week of Mondays. And, you know, wires are always a Monday in the week. And just all these kind of things. But you just go in there and say, no, my posture is a posture of worship. And so here I am. I'm going to serve God in my job. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to leave it all out there on the field because God deserves this. Because it's an act of worship. It's an act of praise for me to attack this with everything that I've got. You know, you come into home and you're just like getting there and it's like, oh man, three little things that still want everything from me and one of them's my wife, you know, and it's just like, you're just like walking in there. It's like, oh, I just can't believe this. And you could just walk in instead because you've got a posture of praise. This is like, man, I haven't seen you all day. This is amazing. You know, I get to see my family. You know, it comes time to decide what you're going to do in the evening. It's like, well, what could we do? It's like, well, you know, we could watch TV and play on our phones and call it date night. And, you know, we could do that. Or you could just be like, what can we do that's just going to be fun tonight? Well, let's just engage. Let's just have some fun. You know, you wake up on a Sunday morning, and it's like, well, do you want to go to church today? It's like, I don't know, you know, I didn't sleep very well last night. I only got to bed at 9:30, and I only got a solid 10 today, and, you know, I don't know. It's going to be nice outside. I mean, I could go out and do some yard work. I could go do this, and I don't know. Do I even have an hour today to do anything? Or you can just, like, wake up and just go, like, dude, I can't wait. I mean, I've been praising God all week, and now I get to come in here and I get to praise God with other people. I've been praising God all week, and let my praise be a blessing to others and let their praise be a blessing to me. Oh my goodness, I get to do this. I mean, because it's like I'm full of God and my circumstances don't determine my worship, but my worship can really influence my circumstances, and my environment doesn't determine how I worship, but the way I worship can affect my environment. And so I'm going all in. I'm going all out with this because I want to be bent towards God, and I want to be a person that is just has praise flowing out. And whether the chains fall off, whether the chains stay on, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whatever it is, I'm going to have a song in my heart because my God deserves a song. Amen. Because listen, there's the bottom line. There's strength in a song. It connects, man. It can give you the strength that you need because your song is about Him. Because you're going to remember what God has done. You're going to remember who He is. And so you can sing no matter what you face. So here's my challenge to you this week. This might be the most fun challenge I've given you in a long time. So you're welcome. Is I want you to find your song. And not from the 90s country music playlist. All right, I need to make sure that we're really clear. I know you've got a favorite Taylor Swift album. It's not from that one either, but I want you to find your song, find a song of praise, and then here's my challenge to you, is I want you to pick that song, one song, every single day this week as you drive to work. School starts this week. Hey, it starts this week. And I want you to play that song on your way to work, on your way to school, every single morning this week. And I want that to be the thing that is going to influence your heart and your thought as you're driving into work, driving into school. It's going to be a whole lot harder to yell at your kids whenever Firm Foundation is playing in the background, okay, and that's going on, all right? So you just, it's going to help. I'm here to help, all right? And so, but you find that song, and every day on the ride to work and to school, listen to it, and then, don't miss this, on your way back home, do the same thing, and let that song shape you this week. Firm Foundation, we sing it in here on a regular basis. That's my song for the week. But you can find yours. Find that song. Listen to it every single day this week. Now, here's the thing. Not every song is happy. We know this. There are laments, songs of sorrow. Did you know Jesus sang on the cross? He sang a song on the cross. He quoted a song on the cross. It was a song of lament. It's Psalm 22, and here's how the song goes. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, Jesus Christ experienced separation from God so that we would never have to experience it. And it was a song of sorrow. It was a song of pain, a song of hurt. But that song becomes a joyful song whenever you and I are reunited with the Father because of His sacrifice. And instead of a song of lament, it becomes a song of praise because He was forsaken, I will never be. And so today, if you're watching online, if you're in the room, and you have never been restored to the Father, you've never admitted that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you've never said, I believe in Him, and I believe that He died on a cross for me, He was raised from the dead for my forgiveness. You've never committed your life to Him. You've never repented. You've never been baptized. Oh my goodness. Turn the sorrow into joy today. And if you're online, visit the website that's on the screen. Let us know the decision that you're wrestling with, and we'll be in touch with you this week. If you're in the room, you can use your connection card. You can come up after the service. I'm about to pray, and you can just say, I'm ready to experience joy. But let the Father restore you. Bend your heart towards Him and let praise flow out. So God, today we thank you so much for the gift of a song. We thank you that you are who you are and that you do what you do. So please help us to remember today and help that remembering lead us into praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.